Hampshire are promoted. They have their storybook ending. You can walk through the fire. You can walk through the fire. When it's down to the wire. You can walk through the fire. Howdy, y'all, and welcome to the Wrexham Texan. My name is Jake Green. Thank y'all so much for joining me today. What a game. I always fear away days. They just don't go well for us very often. And yesterday was no different as far as the feeling before the game. I was nervous, even though Colchester is not the best team around. Still nervous going into it. And when they scored that first goal, 54th minute, I just kind of sank, kind of felt like that might be it. We thought we might tie it up, but never thought we would win. Crazy though, we ended up winning. What a fantastic, fantastic day. We've got a lot to talk about. Let's watch some highlights. I got three highlights. Goodness gracious. Got three highlights, which are basically just all the goals, because those were the best highlights that I could scrounge from the full highlights that Wrexham releases. So here's the first one.
McGee and does well to feed it to Akinde with a return pass is strong, but Akinde can hit this. Oh, it's in! Akinde slams it. Okonkwo.
Yeah. Let's see. I think it was McLean that blew this one. Is that right? I think McLean let that go past him, did some crazy weird tackle, and then tried to come back in for a slide. And I mean, I'm going to blame that one on McLean. I think he really blew that one. And Okonkwo nearly got it. He nearly was able to punch it away, but man, just couldn't quite get there. Couldn't quite get there in time. I don't put that one on Okonkwo. I put that one on McLean, just because McLean overstepped the first time and then couldn't recover, and that was it. That was the end. I don't think that's Okonkwo's fault. But then, here we go.
Picks it up on the right flank, scoops it down the line to Barnett. Just about keeps it in on his right foot, hits across to the far post, and Mullen scores his 100th.
Paul Mullen scores his 100th goal. It was just a beautiful play all the way around. Ryan Barnett assisted. Andy Cannon with the secondary.
Everywhere. Picks it up on the right flank. Scoops it down the line to Barnett. Just about keeps it in on his right foot. Hits a cross to the far post.
Literally could not have been a more perfect cross. He saw Mullen's head and he kicked it right at it. I mean, it was perfect.
Mullen scores his 100th. Paul Mullen, ton up.
I love that Mullen didn't really celebrate all that much. He just wanted to get the victory. So it was kind of crazy. The fact that he scored his 100th goal, immediately went into the goal, got the ball, and ran to midfield. Normally, we see a whole bunch of celebration from our players. And he just was just doing business, which was fantastic because 23 minutes later, this happened.
Here's Evans to the near post. Palmer shirt being pulled against a flick across the face. It's in! It's in!
Max Clearworth.
Clearworth's first ever league goal.
How about that? Clearworth gets his second goal, first ever in the league, off a perfectly placed header. If that header had been anywhere else, just slightly to the left or slightly to the right, to the left, the goalie would have gotten it. To the right, it would have been out. So, freaking love. And Max Clearworth, I think, was the FOTMA man of the match. Played a phenomenal game. Played a phenomenal match, as he's been doing all summer. Or all year. Not summer. Goodness gracious. All season. we're going to talk about Max Clearworth a lot here in a little while. But what a game, y'all. I mean, 85th minute. It was crazy. As y'all know, my brother is a West Ham fan. He came on the show last episode. And both teams won 2-1 in the 85th minute. It was wild. He sent me a screenshot with two 85, two 85th minute updates from both of our games. It was fantastic. I loved it. But yeah, I mean, overall yesterday, I thought it was really, I just enjoy watching them. So I was in, I'm in the Two Beards Wrexham podcast, group chat, and everybody gets down a little bit at times, but I just like watching Wrexham. And so even at the beginning, when we weren't playing all that well, it was just fun watching our squad out there. And I generally have the feeling that we can come back, that we can score at any given moment. And there's just, I don't know. I just love sports. I love football. I love Wrexham. And just having the ability to watch our squad out there every Saturday, sometimes Tuesdays, it's just a joy. I just enjoy doing it. And yeah, I might be disappointed at the end of the game, but I'm going to relish every moment during. Yeah. So I don't know. There are a lot of people out there who get down and who get pessimistic and who doubt us being able to win. Just enjoy the sport, man. Just enjoy the sport. Enjoy watching your team. Not everything in life's going to go your way. Same with football. Not everything's going to go your way. But if you enjoy the journey, that's the real reward. So enjoy it. And yeah, just up the town. All right, let's look at some. If y'all hear a lot of banging, that's the dogs in the next room being very loud, wrestling. All right, let's look at some statistics. I actually haven't gone through much of the FotMob website. I'm on their app quite a bit, which I gotta say, it might be the most delightful sports app I've ever had. It is incredibly intuitive. It presents all the information that you could possibly want. Everything's clickable. That's what drives me nuts about ESPN's app and CBS's app, CBS Sports app. You can't click on everything. You can, like, if you're at like a match, if you're watching a match, you can't click on either team in the scoreboard. It's infuriating. You have to go click somewhere else. You have to go find. It's the least. They're not intuitive. And FotMob is the exact opposite. It is extremely intuitive. They make it really well. I'm sure I'm very, very late to the FotMob crew, but it is what it is. I found it and I love it now. Let's see. George Evans started yesterday for the first time in a while. It was fantastic. Let's look at our lineup. Does it say our lineup anywhere? There we go. All right. So we had Mullen and Fletcher starting. So Palmer sat the bench until the 67th minute. We had Cannon, Evans, and McLean. And then in the back, in the defense, we had Barnett, Cleworth, O'Connell, O'Connor, and Mendy. I think we're to the point where we know that Ben Tozer won't be starting any more games for Wrexham. Unless we're already automatically promoted or automatically won the league or whatever. We just have too many younger players who are playing better. The only thing that I miss, which I said this right before George Evans threw that long ball into Max Cleworth. The only thing I miss of Tozer's really, besides, I mean, his captaincy is like captain, his demeanor and level-headedness was always a benefit, and his ability to be the captain and have some respect for the refs and respect for the game, and just his overall attitude and leadership is definitely missed. But he's not better than O'Connell. He's not better than O'Connor. He's definitely not better than Cleworth, who might end up being one of our best players. If we're able to keep Cleworth for the long term, he might end up being one of our best players of all time. Actually, let's pull. There we go. That's much better. a little closer to you now. Okay. He's definitely not going to start over. I mean, Mendy and Barnett are the outside, so it would be Cleworth, O'Connell, or O'Connor. Unless we suffer some more injuries, I just don't see that happening. I don't see Hayden coming back and playing for Wrexham again. Which is sad, because I always loved Aaron Hayden, but he just gets injured too often. He's just always injured. Let's see. Our bench yesterday was Elliot Lee, Ollie Palmer, Jack Marriott, and Luke Bolton, along with Ben Tozer, Jordan Davis, and Mark Howard. So the subs that got into the game were Elliot Lee, because Jacob Mendy got hurt in the 34th minute. He's holding his hammy. I just think that that's probably the end of the season for Mendy, which is unfortunate, because I thought he had a great year. Thought he had a great season. Really unfortunate that it ended with a simple hamstring injury. I don't like that whatsoever. But yeah, Elliot Lee came in for him. It was supposed to be a rest day for Elliot, but he only got 33 minutes of rest. Ollie Palmer came in the 67th minute, and then what I thought was far too late was Jack Marriott and Luke Bolton coming in the 84th minute. Because once Mullen got that goal, I thought that he should have been out. Apparently, he was playing through some type of pain or injury, which I don't really like that we're having to play him through an injury. If somehow it makes makes it worse, that does not bode well for us. I mean, we are towards the end of the season, but we need him for these last four games. So I would love it if we could just rest him up and maybe bring him on as a sub if he actually is injured or hurt in some way, shape, or form. Because I don't think we can risk losing him when we have Stockport as the final game. We'll get to our upcoming matches here in a bit. Who had phenomenal games? Barnett obviously had the assist to Mullen. Cannon has played well all season. He played phenomenally yesterday. Evans played great. I didn't think his yellow card was a yellow card. It seemed light considering no one else got cards. And some people did far worse things during yesterday's game. Hang on one second. O'Connell played great on the defense. O'Connor... I want to know, I need to do more research into how FotMob rates these, but FotMob rated O'Connell as one of the worst on our team besides Mendy, who got hurt. So 6.8. O'Conkle got a 6.9. Not really sure why. Yeah, I don't know how they come up with these scores, but don't really care for him. McLean played fine. You didn't see him very much. I mean, I thought he played worse than anybody else. I thought there were like two or three times on the defense where he made a mistake and let the ball through or let the defender past. He did hustle. The dude does hustle. But other than that, I just thought he made a lot of mistakes yesterday. I could be wrong, but I distinctly remember seeing him lose track of the person he marked multiple times, and let defenders run or let attackers run by him with the ball. I also think he's the reason that we gave up that goal, which is fine. I like McLean. I just think he had a bad game yesterday. That's all. Let's see. Interesting. Look at this momentum chart. I do like that. Look how long they had the momentum. So long. I mean, basically, until they scored their first goal, they basically had momentum the entire time. We had a little bit here around the 24th to the 29th minute. But, man, they dominated the first two-thirds of that game. Let's see. Sorry, y'all. There are dogs whining in the background. Apologies. All right. Let's see what we got here. Top stats. We had possession for only 44% of the time, but we ended up winning. We had 12 total shots. They had 14. We both had two shots on target. And interesting, big chances. See, this is what I meant. This is what I our home website doesn't give you all these little cool stats. Big chances, they had three. We had two. Big chances missed, zero for us. They missed three. Let's see. We've got, sorry. they had 74% accurate passes. We had 66%. They had 7 fouls committed. We had 10. We also had a yellow. They had 7 corners. Or no, we had 7 corners. They had 3. We did great on the corners. There were a couple times where we almost scored, which I thought was great. I still think we should be doing more short corners. I'm a huge fan of the short corners. I don't know why we don't do them. We just, every now and then we do. And last time we did, I think it was Mansfield game. Was it Mansfield? We did some short corners and we scored off one of them. I love the short corner. I don't know. I just don't understand why we don't do it more often. But yeah, I don't know. What do y'all think? I thought the game was entertaining. We obviously didn't play that well in the first half. I thought we played very well. I thought we got all the momentum. We really found our groove after, in response to their goal, which is a great, there's a silver lining there. Like, yes, we let them score, but the way we reacted to it was immediate counterattack. Immediately, we are going for that goal. We didn't let it get us down. We kept pushing. We kept playing our game, and we got in the groove finally. We kept possession a lot more in the second half. And that's basically how we were able to score. We had some phenomenal passes, a lot of short passes here and there. There was one point where we kept passing the ball back, and you could tell the fans were getting a little anxious and a little annoyed that we kept passing the ball back. But man, we were doing great. We maintaining possession in certain situations is paramount. And when you're able to keep them on their heels, especially when they went up 1-0, they're trying not to get relegated. They are trying to defend at all costs. They have everybody behind midfield. And so being able to keep the ball, keep possession, pass it around, wear them out, tire them out, huge benefit. I think that was a phenomenal second half that we played. I don't think it could have been any better after they scored their goal. I think that, I just think it showed a lot of grit and a lot of toughness to come back down 1-0 on the road, 2/3 of the match is gone, and we go and score twice. It's unbelievable. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. Got to share this. Me, the wife, and Wrexham, they made some predictions, and I just want to highlight one of their predictions.
So the lads are down in Colchester today. We were obviously at the game on Tuesday in Doncaster, but unfortunately we're not at the game today, but we've come on to do our predictions nonetheless. What are you thinking?
I'm going to go with 2-1, I think.
2-1. Yeah. I'm going to go for a nice positive turnaround after Tuesday night. I'm going to go...
7-0.
No, I'm gonna go for 2-0 Wrexham. I'm gonna go positive.
There we go. Well, Ryan, Sharn beat you yet again. I think she's done that multiple times this season. Sorry, there's a new dog here who's barking. Yeah, good job, Sharn. 2-1. You nailed it. But let's get to the Mullen stuff. Can we just talk about Mullen for a while? Okay, so this person, Giacomo Cobianchi, I'm sure that I butchered that name, made this Mullen tribute video. We're not going to listen to it because there's a lot
as I'm navigating.
There's a lot of trademarked trademark material in it. But if you go over to Fearless and Devotion, or I retweeted this from Wrexham Texan, watch this 4-minute video. It'll give you chills. It'll make you love the last 3 years of Paul Mullen. Highly recommend. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I thought it was a fantastic video, and it made me want to start doing things like this, because this is right in my wheelhouse. It was absolutely incredible. It's 4 minutes, 40 seconds long. Like I said, I can't play it on here. It's got a whole bunch of copyrighted and trademarked stuff in there that will definitely get me taken down off YouTube. But highly recommend going to watch that. And with his 100th goal in a Wrexham jersey, this season he is now fourth, tied for fourth for most goals, even though he missed, I can't remember how many games he missed, but he missed a good chunk in the first half of the season. And he's up to 19 goals. Langstaff, of course, 25. He's the most. No one's going to catch Langstaff. Langstaff's going to continue to score, even though Knotts is going down the table. I think the best we can hope for is that Mullen could potentially take second place. I just don't see him catching up to Langstaff. What's also interesting is Keeler Dunn has scored 19, but he's also had 9 assists, which is very impressive. And Langstaff has had 6, which is impressive. Mullen's only had 5. He's on the lower side, but still pretty dang good. It's a pretty phenomenal season for Mullen, despite missing part of it, despite our long stint where we were just in a rut, not playing well. You just got to believe in Paul Mullen. That video that I showed you a second ago that made me rediscover my love for Paul Mullen. Not that I had lost it, but it reignited it. And then Rob Ryan Red started making these breakdowns of Mullen's goals, which I think are really, really fun. This one is goals based on teams played. Okay, so he scored 6 goals total against Oldham and 5 against Aldershot, which neither of them are in League Two. This was back in National League. He scored 1 with Wimbledon, Barrow, Blyth, Bradford, Chesterfield, Colchester, which was yesterday, Coventry, Dorking Wanderers, Dover, Forest Green, Port Vale, Sutton, Torquay, Walsall, Wealdstone, and Woking. So it's just a really cool chart. It's a chart that I really enjoy. And then another chart that's pretty dang cool is per minute. So there are a whole bunch of minutes checked off of this. So it lists 1 through 90 for those just listening. Or no, it lists 1 through 90 and then a slot for 91 plus, which is anything in added time, obviously. And what's funny is out of all of these minutes, he scored the most after the 90th minute. He scored 8 goals of his 100 after the 90th minute, which is so crazy. And he scored 5 in 45th plus minute. So that just goes to show you how clutch of a player Paul Mullen is. When you need him to score, he's going to score. Look at all these late goals. So like 70, let's go 70th minute and above. He scored 4, 5, 6, 9, 10, 11, 12, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 27 of his 100 goals for Wrexham have been scored at the 70th minute or later. So over a quarter of his goals have been scored during that time. I mean, just the mere 8% of his goals have been scored after the 90th minute. That's crazy. That's a clutch quality player. I love that Parkey says he's got a bit of magic. That's one of the best quotes ever about Mullen. He does. He has a bit of magic. It's interesting that he scored 4 goals in the 7th minute. That's a weird stat. That's a weird number to score so quickly. He scored 1 goal in the first minute. I wonder which goal that was. I wish you could scroll over it and it would tell you who he scored these goals against and when. That'd be fun. But great chart. Good job, Rob Ryan Red. All right. Yeah, I mean, the good dude just scored 100 goals. Just scored 100 goals for Wrexham. The stuff that what he's done for this club, without him, we don't get promoted. Like, it's as simple as that. He scores so many goals. He is a rock in the front line. We just, Wrexham just owes a ton to Paul Mullen. And it wouldn't surprise me if they came out with some special documentary purely about Mullen. I would love to shoot that documentary, actually. But he deserves all the praise. He definitely still flops, and he's still probably going to get the Alamo Award at the end of this year from me. But he's flopping less, which is great. He did flop yesterday a couple times. But overall, where we are in the league, the fact that we are in league ball and that we are at the top of League Two, near the top of League Two, it's a great portion of that is due to Mullen. And without him, we would still be down in the National League. And I fully believe that. So thank you, Paul Mullen. Now, let's go talk about the future. Let's talk about... hang on. There we go. Let's talk about Mr. Max Cleworth. Kate Lindsay says, still not over Max getting his goal yesterday. What a time to score. 100%. 100%. I love it. This is Max just happy as can be after the match yesterday. The number of people online calling for Wrexham to sign him, extend his contract, sign him for a very long time for a lot of money. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of people out there talking about that. And I completely agree. I've said this before, but I've been a fan of Max Cleworth since I got FIFA on my Nintendo Switch and started playing as Wrexham because I was able to, over time, build him up to be one of the best players in the Premier League. And I think he has that potential. If you saw his pass against Mansfield, you would know that he has that potential. I'm a huge Max Cleworth fan. And the fact that he's 21 years old, he plays for Wrexham. He loves playing at Wrexham. He gave a great interview after the game. I should have pulled that up. In fact, let me go see if I can find it. It's just... he is becoming essential, I think, to what we're doing, to us building here. And I think that it would be great for morale and great for the club's future if we did give him an extension. I think it would make a lot of people happy. Here he is. Here's a 3-minute interview. Let's watch the whole thing. I want to watch it.
Max, congratulations. A 2-1 victory today against Colchester and the winner for yourself. Just describe what that feeling's like.
Yeah, it's a pretty surreal feeling, to be fair. It's been a long time coming, like a league goal, either in, you know, last year in the National League or this year. So to get it at this place, which is a tough place to come, and to be the winner, yeah, it's a special feeling.
In the context of the game as well, we just made a double substitution to change the shape, and then straight away your header then hit the back of the net. It seemed to take an age before it got there. What was going through your mind as that ball went into the box?
Well, I was just thinking about getting the seconds off, like if someone got the first contact, but then I just seen it coming over. I think it was Owen Zed, and it was like perfect. I'd got half a yard, and then I was right behind it, so I knew it was in straight away. But yeah, I've not had many, so yeah, it was a good feeling.
Over the last few weeks, you've received a lot of plaudits from a lot of the supporters, become a real fans' favourite for many, many years now. To hear them chanting your name, saying you're better than Cannavaro at the end, it must be a really nice feeling for you.
Yeah, like the support over the last 3 years since I've come into the team has been class. To have that moment at the end, pretty special, you know, to come from the academy all the way up and then get a moment like that, it's pretty good. But you know, I'm just trying to keep working, and hopefully it's the first of many moments in front of them fans.
And in terms of the game as well, to get that winner before that, Paul Mullin got the equaliser, scored his 100th goal for the club. It's a fantastic milestone in such a short space of time, isn't it?
Yeah, 100 goals in just under 3 years is ridiculous. You know, he's been a talisman for us over the last 3 years and someone we've always looked to. So for him to get another goal and get up to 100, I've made up for him today.
Especially after going a goal behind today and defeat on Tuesday, the response just showed exactly what the group's about, and it's been shown and known for across the last 3 years now, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think the gaffer and Parky, all the backroom staff have instilled a character in us that we never give up. You know, we've had a few losses over since probably Christmas and that we weren't happy with. I think Tuesday was a really tough place to go. You know, they're probably top of the form table summit, so. And I think just to bounce back today on this, which was a really difficult pitch, they're fighting for their lives. You know, they've sold it out
horrible
for the first time in years. So it was never going to be easy, but just to get over the line, it was a big 3 points.
The gaffer mentioned in his press just a moment ago that the pitch was narrowed. How did that affect the way that you maybe go and want to set up the game and then play our style of play as well?
I think it just restricts the space. You know, obviously we play quite wide at times. So it hinders us in that sense, but it's the same for both teams. I think it was more the bobbliness of the pitch that hindered us more than anything. And we just probably struggled to adapt to it in the first half, especially up until the goal even. And then I think the character we showed to bounce back and with the fans in full voice, it was a really good 40 minutes in the end of the second half.
And nevertheless, at this time of the season especially, finding that way to win can be so crucial, can't it?
Yeah, it's winning's the important thing. You know, performances at times aren't the main thing. Obviously, they're nice, but you know, if you can get the 3 points and get over the line, it's what everyone wants. And hopefully we can kick on in the next two games and hopefully just get over the line sooner rather than later.
Thanks much. Congratulations.
No worries.
There you go. I kind of equate, I know he's not, I don't think he's from Wrexham, but I kind of equate his story with Jordan Davis, how it was a big deal to sign Jordan Davis because he grew up in Wrexham. He's a Wrexham lad. And I mean, Max went through our academy and now he plays for the first team and he does a phenomenal job. So I kind of equate him getting signed as an, like with an extension as a moral victory and just securing the future of the club, or helping to secure the future of the club. Overall, like I just love Max Cleworth. He's developing so quickly because like between last year and this year, you could see his quality plays last year, but man, the difference between last year and this year is phenomenal. You can tell he's been working really hard off the pitch, and I'm really excited to see where his career goes. And hopefully his career stays with Wrexham. That's the goal. All right, y'all. It's that time.
Lisa, I want some more.
Don't make me beg here, because I will do it.
Please. I'm begging you, please.
Well, I messed this one up, y'all. There we go. There we go. All right. Welcome to Beggar's Corner. Mr. Rob McElhenney, this is attempt number 4 or 5. I don't remember. 4 or 5 at trying to get you to come on my show. Today's topic is hatred of the New York Giants and the Washington Commanders. We have a lot of disagreements. You know, I'm a Cowboys fan, you're an Eagles fan. We're just going to gloss over those. We're just going to go straight into the two teams that don't deserve to even be in the same league as our two teams. Okay. We got the Giants, who don't even really play in New York. I don't know why anybody's a fan of that squad. They don't have any quality players. Their entire program's a joke. I don't even like going to a Giants game is a miserable affair. The Commanders don't even know what name they want to be. I mean, there's a petition trying to get their old name back. Like, they have no idea what they're doing. They're a joke of an organization. I don't even think they're in the United States, because I'm pretty sure Washington, D.C. is not in the United States. It's not a state. How they're in the NFL is beyond me, but they suck. And so do the Giants. And if you come on my show, we can just sit here and talk crap on those two teams and talk good about Wrexham for the entire podcast. And that's all we got to do. So there's your invitation. We'll see you next time. All right. That was Beggar's Corner. Really dumb, really stupid, but is what it is. I didn't think I was going to do it today, but I ended up doing it. So there we go. All right, y'all. Let us talk about next week's game. On Tuesday at 2:45 Eastern, which is 7:45, I believe, the time changed over in the UK. It's at the Stoke Kairos. We play at home against Crawley Town. One thing that Ryan over at Me, the Wife, and Wrexham pointed out was that Crawley have the most away points in 2024. They have 21 away points. Morecambe, Gillingham, Crewe, and Mansfield after that, 16, 15, 14, 13, respectively. So it's not going to be an easy game, y'all. It's not going to be an easy game. They are seventh. They are fighting to stay in the playoff race. See, what's frustrating about who we get to play at the end of this season is it is teams fighting for the playoffs, which is basically anybody from basically Gillingham up. And then teams fighting to stay out of relegation, which we just sent Colchester into the relegation bracket. And what sucks about that is both of those teams have a lot to play for. Teams like Swindon, Salford, Accrington, Tranmere, Newport, Notts, they basically have nothing to play for at this point. They're just going to survive till next season, and then they'll be in League Two again. But anybody in the top 11 or the bottom four right now have a lot to play for. And so those are the teams we're playing right now, and it's not great. They're playing really well. They're fighting really hard. It's really frustrating. That was the whole thing with Colchester, was they're not the greatest team, but they played really well because they're fighting to stay out of that section right there. And so playing these teams who are desperate to win, not great. But Crawley, we can beat them. We beat them last time. We beat them in an away game, 1-0. Let's go see what happened during that game. Palmer scored. Man, let's get a Palmer goal. Palmer's due for a goal again. Let's get a Palmer goal. Okonkwo was the keeper. He was the man of the match last game. Last time we played Crawley, he had an 8.0 rating. Dadgum. That was a while ago. When was this? October 7th. Wow. It's been since October. I did not remember Okonkwo playing that much in the first half of the season, though I could be wrong. Let's see. Oh, Tunnicliffe came on during that game. Davis came on during that game. Fletcher and Cannon came on. And then let's see who was in the starting lineup. It was Mullen and Palmer. Yet another victory where we had Mullen and Palmer in the starting lineup. We had George Evans, Elliot Lee, James Jones, who's basically been replaced at this point by Andy Cannon. Mendy, Hayden, been replaced by Cleworth. Those are the big changes. So, yeah, basically Hayden and Jones, this right side over here, has been replaced by, honestly, two people who deserve it more than they did. Boyle was on the bench. Like I said, Tunnicliffe, he's kind of been replaced. I don't think he's coming back in the lineup anytime soon. Fletcher, obviously, he's staying in. Yeah, then Cannon went on. So very excited for Tuesday. Gosh, I hope I don't have to work during that time. But my prediction for this game is, what has Crawley been doing? I want to see what they've been doing over the last few matches. So they just beat Mansfield away 4-1. And before that, they beat Newport away 4-0. Then they lost before that to Doncaster at home 2-0. This makes me nervous. This Crawley, this Mansfield and Newport game, they've scored 8 total goals in their last 2 games. Which actually, you know, that actually makes me less nervous. That makes me less nervous that they're not going to be on as much of a roll. I think 2-1. 2-1 is my prediction. I think it'll be the exact same score as the match we just played. That's my prediction. Crawley's doing great over the last few games. They are really coming up and making their stake for that playoff race. But I think we get them because I think our home record is stupid good. And I think, I just think we're going to beat them. I think we're going to end the season. Whew. Oh, yeah, that's actually something I wanted to do. Let me stop sharing my screen and share an entire screen instead. There we go. I wanted to look at Stockport, their upcoming matches versus our upcoming matches. And we have four. They have a game in hand. Okay, they have a game in hand. They're also 4 points ahead of us. They play Colchester on Tuesday. Then they play Morecambe, who's in the running. Then they play Notts County, who isn't in the running. They have nothing to play for anymore other than pride. Then they play Accrington, same situation as Notts, and then they play us. So I think, dadgummit, sorry, y'all. I was supposed to have this on stage. There we go. All right, so I think they could drop some points. They could definitely drop some points at Colchester. That was a tough game. And Colchester is now in relegation. So I think they'll be fighting even harder than they were the other day. And I think they could, I'm guessing they lose to Colchester, tie with Morecambe, then get 2 victories here. Which would put them at 3, 6, 7 points. So they'd get 7 points. I think we beat Crawley. I think we beat Forest Green. Maybe tie with Crewe. And then maybe beat Stockport. So if that happens, we end up tying with Stockport. If the scenario I just laid out happens, we end up tying with Stockport in points and they destroy us on goal differential. So I don't think it's realistic that we win the league. I do think we end up in second place, which perfectly happy, automatic promotion, no problem there. But I would love a scenario where these 3 games and these 4 games for them equal this final game of the season decides who wins the league. That would just be the ideal scenario for a sports fan. I think that would be so much fun to watch and so much fun to be a part of. So maybe that'll happen. I think the likelihood of us winning the league is 5-10%. I think Stockport has it all but wrapped up unless they have a complete meltdown, which it's entirely possible that they could. But yeah, I'm not trying to be a downer. We're going to get promoted. I am certain we're getting promoted. I think we'll end up in the top 3. I think we'll end up second place. And I think we'll all be extremely happy and move on to League One and enjoy all of next season. So that's it for today, y'all. Sorry about last week. It was Easter. I was at church with the fam, and then we went over to a friend's house after that. And yeah, it was a holiday for me. So yeah, looking forward to coming back on next week. Next week I'll be on the road. I'll be broadcasting from the van that I'll be traveling in up to Montana. So I don't know where I'll be, but you'll see a completely different background next time. But thank y'all so much for tuning in. Really appreciate it. Go follow me on Instagram, WXM Texan on Instagram and Twitter. And we are now streaming on all of the platforms you see on this screen, which is Twitter, Rumble, Instagram, Facebook, Odyssey, and YouTube. We're also streaming over on my network, the Peaceful Sea Network, which is www.peacefulsea.network. So thank you all so much for tuning in. I really appreciate it. Looking forward to what Wrexham brings us this week. All right, y'all, up the town. My soul, though your heart, you're gonna see it, you're gonna see it. And if you knock my soul, oh, with all your strength, you're gonna find it, you're gonna find it.